please turn with me to the
book of Nehemiah. If you find 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, then you'll have Nehemiah. That's where we're going this morning. We've been dealing with this series in Nehemiah. I love to be in the house of God. Amen. I would rather preach than be sick in bed. I can assure you. Amen. That is one sure thing. I love the word of God. Reading from Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah chapter 3. And our message this morning is the old gate. Nehemiah chapter 3. Reading from verse 6. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada the son and Pasaniah and Meshulam the son of Besodiah. They laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite and Jadon the Meronithite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah unto the throne of the governor on the side of the river. Next unto him repaired Uzziel, the son of Harahiah of the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries. And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. And next unto them repaired Rethiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. And next unto them repaired Jedidiah, the son of Harumuth, even over against his house. And next unto him repaired Hattush, the son of Hashabniah. Malcha, you're glad I'm reading this, aren't you, this morning? Malchajai, the son of Harim, and Hashub, the son of Pahath Moab, repaired the other piece and the tower of the furnaces. And next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. Let's pray together. Father, I do love you. I'm so grateful for your word, Lord God. It's more ancient than the stars in heaven. Lord God, it has an older history, Lord God, than the moon, the stars, the sun, Lord God, than earth itself. Father, I do thank you for ancient ways. I thank you for an ancient pathway. I thank you for ancient words in this book that are eternal, they're reliable. Lord God, they are unchangeable. They're trustworthy. When heaven and earth has passed away, your word shall remain. Not one comma, not one full stop is going to pass away. It is eternal. And you said all those that believe it, all those that do it, they also shall be eternal. They shall remain and abide when this old earth of ours has been wrapped up and put away. We love you. My God, I pray, put in this church an old gate, fix it up, repair it, establish it. My God, we are here, Lord God, to see that this old gate is preserved in this city in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We come to the third gate of Jerusalem. As we said, there are 10 gates in the city wall of Jerusalem. There were about 17 city gates in the city of Limerick. Limerick had about 17 gates. There's Mary, she lives at Watergate. There's a Watergate in this city wall as well. Just like Jerusalem was in those days, so also was the old city of Limerick. There is still a city wall. It is so broken down, so decayed, that you can hardly find the city wall of Limerick. But if you know where to go, if you know where to search, you can go and find those old remains of the city wall of Limerick. You can go and find those old gateways in this actual city of Limerick. It's the same with Jerusalem. We looked first at the sheep gate, which represented true salvation. Then we looked at the fish gate that represents evangelism. Third of all, we're looking here this morning at the old gate. The third gate that Nehemiah rebuilt and fixed again and repaired and put back in its place was called the Old Gate. Now we know that each of these gates represent a truth of the New Testament church, a very important truth that actually spiritually is in the church. Although in Nehemiah's day, this old gate was a physical city that he really built, it represents a important truth that must be in this church here in Limerick and in this city of Limerick. God help us this morning to put the old gate back in the church in Limerick. I believe that many of the new contemporary churches in Limerick, they know nothing about this gate. I believe a lot of the traditional churches, they don't know much about it because they haven't gone back to the New Testament and they don't want what is old. Let's look at this old gate this morning. What was the old gate? What does it represent? In verse 6 we read that moreover, the old gate was repaired. This gateway, this third gateway, was again one of the three gates on the northern wall of Jerusalem. It pointed north. These three gates were the most accessible, the most approachable in the whole city wall. When we take that word old, it is the old gate. And you take that Hebrew word for old, what it actually means is it remains long. It is unchanging. It is actually talking about something that is very ancient in its origin. It was there when none of us was there. This gateway was there when none of Nehemiah's generation were even alive. It is an original gate. It is an old gate. It is an unchanging gate. This old gate represents the truth of God that is absolutely reliable. It is eternal. It is unchanging. And it was there before any of us were here. And it will be here long after all of us are gone. The word of God is utterly, it is ancient. And yet it comes afresh in every generation. And our generation needs to be sure that this old gate is in the church. Now in Nehemiah's day, when you come to the old gate, when Nehemiah came to the city, it was in disrepair. The gate was burnt out. It was all broken down. The wall was in disarray. There was ash heaps all around that gateway. He must have said, that old gate has been left. It has been deserted. Nobody cares about it. Does no one in this generation care about what is old, what is true, what is reliable, and what is foundational? Now I can imagine his heart broken, saying there's a whole generation in Jerusalem, in the church of our day, who knows nothing about what is old. It's all new. It's all contemporary. Do any of you have an iPhone? I got a second-hand iPhone about a year ago. I inherited it from Candace. I got my first iPhone. Well, she told me, no, that's ancient. That's old. I went, but it's only been in the market a year. Well, you get the latest iPhone, the latest gadget or whatever it is, give it 6 months, you've got an old-fashioned gadget. Your computer is old, everything you have is old. No, I only got it less than a year ago. You know, I got one of those first mobile phones. Nobody had a mobile. Someone bought me just a few years ago one of those big old bricks of a mobile. I went, well, it can't carry it around very handy. Need a whole bag to carry it around in. And when it's more of a liability than a help, I thought, why would anyone want me to have a mobile? It's a pain in the neck. Well, it took 10 years before we moved from the brick to anything that was much better. But now everything is moving at such a rate. Your style of clothes are old if you don't update them every 3 months. It's the latest hairstyle. They have to totally radically change it to keep the shops in business. We're going to radically change your hairstyle, your clothes, your gadgets, how you do life. And now it's coming to the church of our generation. Do you know in America you have drive-through communion? You drive up, you drop your dollar into the slot there. I've given my money. Press a button. Yeah, give me a 10-minute sermon. I'll sit there listening to it. A device comes out, gives me bread and wine. Well, I'm away down to the beach now. I'm going swimming or whatever else. I tell you, that has got into the mindset of our generation. We are contemporary. We are new. We are on the cutting edge. Now, I once went to a conference. A speaker got up. He looked more like a punk star than anything else. The worship team, they dulled the lights down. They started to dance. The music, I couldn't hear myself even think. I went, they have lost the old gate. They have lost what is real, what is solid, what is true. And now they look more like the world. They sound like the world. They live like the world. They act like the world. And we have lost the old gate. Now in Nehemiah's day, just inside the old gate was an area called the New Quarter. It was the newest living area of the whole city. When you walked in there, everything was brand spanking new. The houses were brand new. There was activity in that area. Everything was alive. This is the newest work area in the whole city. But to get to that area, you had to come in through the old gate. The oldest gate in the city. If you walked in there, you've got the newest building project, genuine building project in all of the city. I believe in this generation, because the Bible does say, Jesus said it, I will build my church. Jesus is building his church in our world today. He didn't just live 2,000 years ago. The Bible says today in Limerick, I will build my church. I'm going to save someone. I'm going to change somebody's life. I'm going to make sure somebody hears that God loves them for the very first time. That isn't just us doing that. That is Jesus at work trying to change lives, reaching out and showing them that he loves them. Do you know where the real work of Christ is? I mean, where Christ is really building and working in our generation. You'll find it by going through the old gate. If the old gate is desecrated and they're saying, this is the new church, this is how we do in church, and you say, where is that old gate? I want to go through the old gate to get there. I want to go through that old fashioned gate of truth, of reliability, of foundation. I want to go through that gate that has never changed. And if they tell you, we don't believe in that, we're not old-fashioned, we do things contemporary, we do things new, we don't need the old ways, we can grease our hair like a punk rocker and be a preacher at the same time. I tell you, they have lost it. If you want to find what God is doing in our generation, in this world, anywhere from China to Ireland, look for the old gate. And as you enter into the old gate, into the city of Jerusalem or Zion, there you will behold a brand new spanking work that is fresh off the press of Christ working in the hearts and lives. I tell you, this is a new work. This church is a new work. We're brand new. We're born again. I was in prayer meetings in this city praying for souls when not one of you, or maybe only Jer, was born again. Noel as well. But the rest of you hadn't even heard the gospel, hadn't received it, and yet I am in there. But you know what? This church is as ancient as the hills. We may only have been here 2 years, yet what I believe people in every generation have believed, this church has a great history, and we have come in through an old gate. There is an old gate in this very church. I know the old isn't very popular in this day, but it is reliable. I used to have an old car. It was reliable. But a new car keeps breaking down. I wish I had that old reliable car. They used to have a car called a Maxi. You could pile about 19 people in it. You drove it like a tank. Nothing could stop it. They don't make it like that anymore. Oh, bring back the old Maxi. It would drive and drive and drive. These new cars, they've got all the electronics on it. Something goes on it. The car mechanic can't even fix it. There's a problem with it. I don't believe in being old-fashioned. I don't believe in holding to some old tradition of men. I don't believe in trying to be an old fuddy-duddy. I tell you, this is fresh and this is real in my life. You can only get into the real work of God this generation through the old gate. But there are some who have come through the sheep gate and through the fish gate, but they haven't got to the old gate yet. But we want to have this built in our church. We must learn the old ways of truth. We must stand for what is unchanging in every generation. God isn't updating the church in this generation. The old-fashioned gospel still has power and will still do the same that it did 2,000 years ago. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy 32:7. Remember the days of old. God actually calls us to remember, to think back. I have met some people in the church and they said, oh, we've done away with the old. We're updating everything. It is how we do church in this generation. No, no, no. God actually says, remember the days of old. We are meant to go back to past generations. We are meant to remember what God actually done. He goes further and says, consider the years of many generations. You know, if I meet a young person, I don't go to them for counsel and advice. I'll go to a Pat concerning something in this city or about a house. Pat, what do you think about my house? Someone who's never had a house, someone who's never owned a house, someone who's never had to look after anyone in the house. I'm not going to ask them. I'll go to Pat. Pat, what do you think about that leaking sound down there? He'll soon tell me. He's a man with a little bit of experience. If I reject the past and say, well, we'll start anew, that can be a very dangerous thing. The Bible says we ought to look back over the generations. We ought to look back into the Bible and how God worked with men. It's reliable. It's unchangeable. It is sure. What God done in David's life and Moses' life and Peter's life and Paul's life, it is still as real. Repentance is always the same. Salvation is always the same. Obedience is always the same. Prayer is always the same. It says in Proverbs 22 and verse 28, it says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now listen, he's saying there's many of your ancestors, spiritual ancestors, people who knew God, knew the Bible, walked with God. And he said many generations ago in that family line, they actually set up ancient landmarks. And you know what those ancient landmarks were? They were a testimony. They were saying what was done in that generation. The Bible says don't remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have put there. Yet in our churches today, in this generation, everything is new. They want to throw out what is old. But I'm telling you, that is wrong. It is unbiblical. We want to go back to what is real. Did Thomas Walsh do a work in this city 300 years ago? As a young man, he got saved on these streets. He was a man of prayer. He preached in the city of Limerick 300 years ago. Well, I want to go back and have what he has. The same faith, the same prayer, the same desire. When St. Patrick came here 1600 years ago, I do want the same faith as him. I have his two letters at home, the only original letters written by Patrick. I have read them. He's a man of prayer. He's a man of the Word of God. He used to get up 10 times in the night just to pray. He is filled with what the Bible says. He says, you must be born again. That's what Patrick said. He says, thousands of Irishmen have been newborn or reborn. Now they need baptized in water. Well, I want what Patrick has. It was a good enough for him. It changed the island of Ireland. I want to go back to the real. It was a pure, real gospel. It says in Psalm 11 verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, What can the righteous do? In other words, this which is old, reliable, solid, pure, this foundation of what is of God, if it's destroyed, if the actual foundations are broken up in the church, what can a righteous person do? Nothing. Do you realize in this generation, the foundations are being destroyed? See, in our society, isn't it true, for the first time ever in world history, Ireland has legalized homosexual marriage? Even the pagans didn't do that. Yeah. Now they want to make abortion legal. Yeah. Even the pagans didn't do that. Yeah. You see, we're in a day where in our culture, we say, forget about a generation ago. Forget what we were doing 20 years ago. We're going to change Irish culture. You can marry anybody. You can call yourself a cat, a pig, a lesbian, half and half. You can walk in a woman's toilet if you're a man. It has become utterly confused. I tell you, they're telling little boys in our schools now, tell wee Jimmy, if you don't like girls, he's 7 years old, if you don't like girls, it means you're probably a homosexual and you ought to experiment. Well, when I was 7 years in school, I was scared of girls. Yeah, I didn't want to sit next to them. They're a different creature, a different breed. I want to let them stay that side of the class. I'll stay this side. They're trouble for me. Of course, when you get a bit older, that changes. But a seven-year-old says she's a different creature than me. And yet they're playing games with our children now. They're trying to say, all of this is normal. No, it's not normal. You see, it's our society is being destroyed and the church is being destroyed. Look at Ireland. Remove the foundations, even though they're religious. Remove them out of Ireland. You've got problems. How much more in the church? Move the old godly foundations. You see, one thing I always ask when a problem comes up or a debate or an argument, I say, what did every revivalist teach? What did every prophet of God teach? What did every man and woman of God all through the generations? And you're telling me I'm wrong. Whenever the greatest of God's people believed this, as far as holiness and prayer and righteousness and evangelism, I'm staying with the old gate. Now, there's something more about this old gate, of why it was called the old gate. A roadway led from this gate outside the city and it went 15 miles north to a small town called Yeshana. It's a Hebrew name, and this little town was 15 miles north. What that Hebrew word means is old. It is the word old used in the old gate. This is why the old gate was called the old gate, because there was a pathway or a roadway just outside of that gate that went north for 15 miles, taking you to a place that was very ancient. What is the truth behind this? God has a very ancient old pathway for you and I to walk in. Listen to this, a very important verse in Jeremiah 6 and 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Now, stand in the ways. The word ways actually means a meeting place of roads or crossroads. This is God speaking to his people. He says, stand in the ways. At that crossroads where there's many different roads going in different directions, stand at the crossroads and ask. He's actually calling for his own people to stand at the cross. What way do I go? How do we do church? What is the real gospel? What is reality? What is right and wrong in this generation? Stand at the crossroads. Many people in this generation, they say, but this is the way to do church. And this is the way to do church. And this is the way to do church. What is right? God here says, stand at the crossroads. Actually go there. Stand at the crossroads and ask, listen, for the old path. What was the old path? It was outside the old gate. And listen, it says, where is the good way? Or the excellent way? Or the best way? And walk ye therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. What was he saying to Jeremiah? He was saying, Jeremiah, they're saying you're wrong. Jeremiah was preaching. He was a young man preaching in Jerusalem in his day. Nobody believed him. None of the leaders believed him. None of the priests believed him. None of the people, they laughed at him. The king had him put in a hole in the ground, said, feed him with bread and water. But get that man to shut up preaching the way he is. We don't believe that old gospel. That's what they done to Jeremiah. Do you know what Jeremiah said? He said, well, I'm going to go to the crossroads. I'm going to say, Lord, what is of you? And I'm going to ask for an old-fashioned pathway to walk in. If your salvation isn't old-fashioned, you're not saved. If the gospel you believe is contemporary and it's not old-fashioned, it's not the true gospel. If the church that you desire to seek is contemporary, but it doesn't fall in line with the 2,000 years of the church, it is not the real church. Yeah. That is a major statement I have just made. Yeah. Most of what's called contemporary, it is nothing to do with the old gate. Yeah. The old gate has to be in its place. Jeremiah says, stand at the crossroads and ask for that old path. You need to be sure, every one of you, I want an old-fashioned gospel. Yes. I want an old-fashioned Christ. Do you know who Christ is? Another name for him is the Ancient of Days. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, his character is the same. He doesn't change his mind. His message is the same. His strategy is the same. Oh no, I believe a new methodology in the church. I don't. You know why? King David had a pure heart. King David was a man of God. King David knew the will of God. What was the will of God? Bring the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. He was in the will of God. His motive was right. But he tried a new strategy or a new methodology. What was it? It was a new Philistine cart. And he put the Ark of God on it and said, well, we can use the world's ways to reach the world. We can use an old Philistine cart. Do you know what happened? One of those priests died. God rejected it. And David got very angry. He says, but God, I have a pure heart and I'm bringing the Ark up. And God says, I will not accept it. Do you know what God says to the church? I won't accept your worldly music. I won't accept your worldly ideology. You can't live for the world and be in the church. You cannot do it. You can't change the preaching to accommodate this generation. It is a narrow gate. It will never be broad. And as soon as you broaden the gate, you destroy the church and you destroy souls. Let's for a moment just look at the builders of the gate. Verse 6 it says, moreover the old gate they repaired. Now I want you to notice the two previous gates. It says they rebuilt them. This gate, they repair it. They didn't rebuild this gate. All they done was fix it. It is a old gate. It is a ancient gate. It is more eternal than any of us. All they done was fix it, remove the rubble, and put it in place. You have 12 men mentioned in these 6 verses, more than all the other gates. 12 of them mentioned by name who are working on the old gate and its wall. Now, why 12 are mentioned? There was more working on it, but why 12? The number 12 is the number of God's government or leadership. You see, if leadership is wrong, the whole church will be wrong. If the leadership doesn't have a desire for the old, then the church won't have a desire. God help me, from I was a child, I stood at that crossroads and said, give me the old path. The old path the revivalists walked. The old path the evangelists walked. The old pathway of the prophets and the apostles. I want what is ancient, and yet it is new. It is always fresh, because I tell you what, those who walk it, they are alive. They do have joy. They will have peace for their souls. Notice this old gate who builds it. And I won't go through all their names, though I'm sorely tempted, because they're wonderful names. But look at the two men building this gate. Jedidiah, the son of Pasiah. I love these names. Hard to pronounce, but I love them. Hebrew names. Now, what do these names mean? It means the not. His name means the knowledge of the Lord. His father's name means limping, or you've got to hop along because you cannot walk. What's it saying to us? The man who was on this gate, the young man who said, I want to build the old gate. I want to repair the old gate in my generation. He actually had a knowledge of the Lord. A very ancient knowledge of the Lord. But his father could not walk. He came from a family where his father could not walk in that ancient path. His father was lame. His father was unable. But he himself came to a knowledge of God, an ancient knowledge of God that moved in his heart to say, I want to see this old gate functioning in Jerusalem. He also has a friend helping him called Meshulam, the son of Besodiah. His name actually means, Meshulam means to be allied in a safe friendship. Let me say that again. This is someone who is allied or joined with others in a very safe friendship. Who's going to bring the old gate back again? Somebody who is allied with others in a very safe relationship. I want to tell you, I'm in a safe relationship with God, my King, this morning. His father's name means the secret of the Lord. The secret of the Lord are to enter into the counsel of the Lord. In other words, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The communion of the Godhead. You actually enter into it. This is the most ancient council in the entire world. Do you realize that before there was a heaven, an earth, a man, creation, sin, that in heaven, in eternity past, Father, Son, Holy Spirit sat together and talked. What this says is there is an ancient secret in the heart of God. Hear me this morning. There is an ancient, old-fashioned secret that is older than this world of ours. And it's in the heart of God. And what this means is this man actually entered into a friendship or an association with God, where the secret of God was revealed unto him. And he says, that gate is going to function. I believe it's the same in the church. There's going to be those who come back, and through a knowledge of God, and knowing the secret of God, and knowing the ancient truth of God, they're going to say, this gate needs put back in its place one more time. It says that these two men, and those with them, they laid the beams thereof, they set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Notice that in this old gate, these men begin to put everything back. Don't leave anything ancient out of this church. We are an old church. Not old-fashioned culturally or in the church world. I go back to the book of Acts. We are commanded to remember what the Lord done in previous generations. In verse 7 it goes on some more people. Next unto them repaired Malachiah the Gibeonite. Now I want you to notice something that goes on to say the men of Gibeon come up. The men of Gibeon, and the leader of them is called Malachiah. His name means the Lord delivers. Now here's a Gibeonite, and his name says the Lord has delivered me. Well, tell me, Malachiah, what has he delivered you from? Listen carefully. The Gibeonites, there's a story about them in Joshua chapter 9. When Israel invaded the land, took over the nation, was going city by city, the Gibeonites heard that Israel was going to conquer the land. What did the Gibeonites do? The Gibeonites disguised themselves. They actually were only a little bit down the road, but they disguised themselves to look like they were from a distant land. They put old shoes on, they put old clothes, they got old moldy bread, and here they come to Joshua and the people of Israel, and they say, look, make a covenant with us, join together with us. We have travelled a long way. We have been on a long, old-fashioned journey. Look at our bread. Look at our clothes. Look at our shoes. We have lived in that old path. We have eaten in that old path. We are real, genuine believers. Do you know what Joshua had done? It says he judged by his eye and his ear, and he made a covenant with them, and he regretted it. And it says they had to make the Gibeonites servants in the land for Israel, but they couldn't destroy them. They couldn't remove them. And all through the ages, the Gibeonites remained there as deceivers. See, the Gibeonites deceived Israel. They give the impression that they were old-fashioned believers. Yeah. They gave the impression that they were Bible Christians, but they weren't really. It was all a mirage. Now, look at this. Malachi is one of those Gibeonites in a later generation who comes up to work on the old gate and the wall attached to it. What's it telling us? What's his name? The Lord delivers. The Lord delivered me from deception. Do you know what I believe he was saying? It is real. My shoes are old. My clothes are old. I am a believer. And he's a young believer. He hasn't been around too long. But he says, I am a real Gibeonite. I have walked a long way. I am walking in old pathways. That's what he was saying. You see, further still in verse 8 it says, next unto him repaired Uzziel the son of Hariah of the goldsmiths. Uzziel the son of Hariah was of the goldsmiths. Here's Uzziel. He comes from a family of goldsmiths. This was their job. His name means strength of God. His father name means fear of God. Here's a young man who deals with something incorruptible, something that is pure, something that is going to last. What about your life? Are you dealing with that? What you're actually dealing with in your life? Is it going to be over in 10 years? Or what you're dealing with, is it like gold? Is it pure? Is it unchanging? Is it everlasting? Because here come a young man, and he said, those I work with, we deal with gold, with what is real. We want this wall, we want this gateway functioning. God help me, I do fear God. I was raised in the fear of God. And I'm strong because I do fear God. God, make this a church that fears God, and you will be strong and I will be strong. And what we deal with will be gold. It won't be perishable. It won't be dead, new, contemporary, synthetic religion. It won't be a nice feel-good Christianity. It's going to be a Christianity that will be here when Limerick isn't here anymore. That's how real, real Christianity is. Yes. Look who's by his shoulder helping him. It says, Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries. Now, what's an apothecary? It's a perfumer. Here's a guy working on the wall, and he works in the perfume shop on the high street in Limerick. He works amidst all of those beautiful fragrance. That's all he smells. He's the most beautiful smelling person on the workforce for Nehemiah of anyone else. You know, I don't want to be over in the sweaty corner. I want to be over with Hananiah. He smells so beautiful. All these fragrances hang around him. Can you imagine those hands that have only delicately dealt with mixing oils and herbs? They're now working on lifting bricks. They're now getting ravished by all of the work of building that wall. Look at it, the goldsmiths and the perfumers working on this wall together. And what are they doing in verse 8? It says, they fortified Jerusalem onto the broad wall. This wall that they were building on is the longest section of Jerusalem's wall. It was actually called the broad wall or the double wall. It was 20 feet thick. These walls are maybe 3 feet thick, yeah, maximum. But can you imagine this wall? It was 20 feet thick or 6 meters thick, these walls. Now, why were they making this wall so strong? It was because it was the longest wall. It is the oldest wall. It is the most ancient wall. And the reason why they fortified it or strengthened it was because it's strategic. The enemy wants to destroy what is old in the church. He wants to steal out of the pulpits what is old. He wants to take out of your hand what is ancient. The devil has always done this, and he comes trying to sell you a cheap counterfeit and saying, it's the same. It's exactly the same. No, it's not. I want the real. I want the pure. And do you know what that long, broad wall that they worked on, do you know what it was there to do? To keep out. Yeah. Oh, God wants everyone in. No, he doesn't. You see, the old gate was there to make sure that you have to come in by old ways, old-fashioned ways. That long wall was to keep the enemy out, keep the counterfeit out, to keep the new out. They didn't want the new in there. They wanted reality. They wanted the pure. You see, we in this church need a broad wall. That which is old, we need to thicken it. Hear me this morning. That which is ancient, that which comes out of the heart of God, we don't tear it down. Most churches today, what is old, we don't care about that. We despise it. That church is dead. Yeah. That is a dead church. Yeah. Show me a church that said, see that old wall? Let's thicken it. Yes. Let's broaden it. Yeah. Let's strategically guard it. Let's make it impregnable. Well, that's Nehemiah. That's what Nehemiah done. Then in verse 9 it says, unto them repaired Rephaiah the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. Here is a man. His father rules over half the city, but what's he doing? He's working on the walls. Here's a young man who desires what's old. You know, one thing you can always tell a genuine believer by their desire and love of the Word of God. Show me someone in the church who has no real desire for the Word of God, no real love, doesn't enjoy the preaching of the Word. I'll show you someone who has no time for God. I can judge a man or know what a man is by his desire for the words of God. It reveals everything about him. Is a person on a new contemporary ride? I just want to enjoy my life, have my sins forgiven, go to heaven, and I don't need to worry about anything else. I tell you, that's a false Christianity. Real Christianity takes you back to the heart of God, and you say, God, what do you want for my life? I want to walk in your ways. I desire you. I want to hear your heart. This young man had a father who ruled over half the city, but he got on the wall and he began to work on that wall. It says in verse 10, next unto him was Jedidiah the son of Harahumph, and he built over against his house. His house was attached to the wall. In other words, the spiritual work affected his home. If you try to separate home life from church life, you'll get in serious trouble. 5 times in this chapter, we read the same statement, over against his house. There's some people who enjoy the preaching. They say, that's good for church life. But it's not practical for the home. Not practical for raising my kids. Not practical for our marriage relationships. Then you will get in trouble. You see, this is so practical that if you try to separate it, you will get in trouble. This man, Jedidiah, his name means praised of the Lord. In other words, the Lord took note of him and actually praised him, commended him, saying, it is good that you're building. It's not you, that you're separating between home life, our work life and church life. It's all one. You carry the gospel into your work life. Well, I'll live like a hypocrite during the week and then I'll come into church and lift my hands. No, you won't be commended of the Lord. The Lord will reject that. He'll say, you're playing games with me. Next unto him was Hattush, which means to assemble unto the Lord. Verse 11, Malchijash, son of Harim, it means my Lord is king. His father's name means to be dedicated. In other words, his father dedicated him to the Lord. Yeah. Here is a young man on the wall, and he's saying, my Lord is the King. I submit to him. I am dedicated to him. But this man has a history. He's mentioned in Ezra chapter 10, 31. He messed up in his marriage. He was married to a wrong person. Someone who didn't love the Lord. Who had no time for the Lord. Yeah, he made a mess of his life and of ministry and of things in the past. You know, you can mess up in life. Yes. You do make mistakes in life. But I tell you, that is never the end of the story. Yeah. The Lord can start all over again. And that's what it is with this old wall. When you deal with that which is old and true and unchanging and reliable, it'll be there to change your life anew and bring you back on track. Here is this man, and he says in the book of Ezra, I did mess up and needed to be called back to God's order, but it didn't stop him. He had to be put out of ministry. His marriage went wrong, but here he is building on the wall. He could have been excluded. He could have said, well, that leaves me out in the cold. No, it doesn't. Get on that wall and begin to build with the rest. Yeah. This is wonderful when you begin reading this. Verse 11, it says that they repaired another piece. And notice this as we close. And the tower of the furnaces. Watch this with me. They have just repaired the old gate. They've fixed everything, put the gates back in. They have repaired the wall. They have thickened it. And then they come to the tower of the furnaces. What is the tower of the furnaces? Not just one furnace. Many furnaces. Do you know what this means? Truth will be tested by fire. Everything that you believe, everything that you hold to, all the old teachings of the prophets and the apostles, and you say, I believe it, amen, I agree, I understand, it will go through fire. This church will go through fire. I have been through the fire so many times. I'm sure I've been in every furnace in this tower. I've been through so many. I thought, wasn't sure if I was punch drunk or dead. Sometimes I thought I'm physically gonna die. Some trials the devil told me, you'll never get out of this, you're finished. No, God brought me through. I want to tell you, walk through the fiery trials. What does fire do? Now notice here, it calls it the tower of the furnaces. Do you know what happened here? Bread was baked. The bread of life, the bread of truth was baked in these ovens. What is the bread of truth? It is where the dough of truth is taken by you. And you say, I believe this. But now you're going to go into the fire. And when you come out of the fire and the trials and the troubles, you may be missing some things. But I assure you, that bread of truth will be baked so beautifully that you'd want to be eating it this afternoon at this table. You see, all of these labors were on there. They had to come through the tower of the furnace. And in verse 12, next unto them repaired Shallum, whose father again was over half the city. And it says, he and his daughters. Isn't it wonderful if it would have said he and his sons, but it says he and his daughters. They're building a wall. The enemy is against them. It's not soldiers, not priests in this wall. This man's daughters, he says, I'm going to go build. You stay at home, make sure there's broth on the table. Oh no, we're rolling up our sleeves. We are getting on that wall. Well, us daughters, you're not leaving us here. We're not standing here. We are getting up on that wall. We're going to be a part of this. Saints, we are all a part of this. We are putting the old gate back in place. We are going to strengthen that old gate. Someone says, I don't like the old teachings that you preach. Well, tough. Either find another church or begin to enjoy it. This will put life in you. It will save your soul. It will fix your life up. It will save your grandchildren or your children. Yeah. It'll lead you to the right marriage partner. I tell you, all of these things. Amen. This old ancient truth, it will satisfy your heart. It will give you a place in eternal reality. And it will make you to stand in the presence of God. Church, we are fighting for the old gate. It is a war. Many laugh at the old gate. Many say we have new ways. But I want to assure you, unless you come through that old gate, Jesus is not working. Yeah. Anybody who jettisons what God has done in other generations, they don't have a clue about the mind of God, the word of God, the ways of God. This church is 2 years old, but I want to assure you this church is at least 2,000 years old. The church I'm a part of, it's been here in every generation, in every nation in Europe. I can give you the history in a condensed form if I needed to, but in every generation, even in the dark ages, the believers like us were spread across all of Europe, all of Asia, out across into China. China was evangelized some 1500 years ago, way before any Catholic missionary got there. Please stand with me. Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you.